and the handle is always Indigenous BC.
Nice.
And then we do have our app, which you can download on any app store.
Oh.
Yes, which is great for when you're
Yeah.
traveling within the province. Yeah, all of our suggestions and businesses are on there, and the map will actually show you where you are and what experiences are close to you. So
Ah.
that can be a really helpful tool.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I will include that information in show notes because it'll just be easy. I know sometimes you're listening and you're out in the streets and you're not able to write things down. So I'll ensure that I put that in the notes. Before we kind of wind down, is there anything that we might not have touched on that you think you might want to share for listeners?
So a marketing initiative that I lead is called the Authentic Indigenous Program, and there's two designation streams. One is called Indigenous Owned and one is called Authentic Indigenous. And so the Indigenous Owned designation, it's a green circle that says Indigenous Owned around the outside, and it's awarded to all of our visitor ready member businesses. So that's really something that you can look for when you're out in the world in BC looking to support an Indigenous owned business. You can look for that mark, look for that sticker. It's on websites, it's in storefronts, and just to help you know and be self-assured that you're supporting Indigenous communities and economic sovereignty through supporting those businesses. And then there's also Authentic Indigenous, which has a similar logo, but it is orange. And this designation identifies a strong cultural tourism experience. So it's those businesses that are really leaning into sharing their culture with travelers, and operating sustainably and giving back to their community. So it's really those three pillars. And so you can look at all of our Authentic Indigenous designated businesses on the Authentic Indigenous tab on our website and read about their stories and why they have received the designation. And yeah, so if you're looking for a cultural experience, that's a great place to look.
Absolutely. And especially, I feel like people are being more intentional with the way that they're spending their dollars, whether it is for a staycation or an overnight or a weekend or a week kind of experience. And the fact that it's easy identifiable, right? Based on a symbol, it makes it a lot easier for people to kind of like, do the work that they want to do, which is support, as opposed to making it hard to kind of like search through a needle in a haystack, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Really trying to give that visibility to the business owners, the communities, and then the ease to the travelers.
Absolutely. And lastly, before I let you go, have you received any feedback from business owners or tour operators or destinations based on, the fact that the organization exists? I know it's been around for a long time, but I'm sure you onboard a lot of new businesses throughout, right? So have you gotten any feedback?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all the businesses I got to interact with are all so lovely and
Love.
happy to be a part of our network because it connects them to us, but it also connects them with other Indigenous operators and really just strengthens that community as a whole. We actually just made a put together a YouTube video about the Authentic Indigenous and Indigenous owned designations, and it's all stakeholders. It's all business owners. I think they're actually all female business owners.
Okay.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And it just worked out that way.
I love
And they're all talking about what the designations mean to them.
it.
So that feedback really, really meant a lot to me. And yeah, if anyone wants to check out that video, it's on our channel on YouTube.
I have to say, I do love that you guys are on YouTube because I'm a visual learner and I think that it builds connection. I get connected more when I get to sort of see the story kind of unfold visually. I love the printed word, do not get it wrong, but I think that there's something about, I know not every organization has a YouTube channel, so I think that this is a great way to give an inside look and to be the people behind the experiences, the people behind the businesses, right? And so that you can kind of build that connection before you get there.
Yeah, totally, 100%.
Love it. Well, again, thank you so much, Paisley, for joining me. I hope that this inspires listeners to visit the website, visit the YouTube channel. I am going to include all the other ways to connect as well. And I'm hoping that folks come out and enjoy BC.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's what's good enough. Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Hope you're doing well. You just heard music from Status Non-Status featuring Julie Doiron. That was Good Enough off the new record Big Changes, which is really cool. Definitely check that out. And something else you can check out is the exhibit Tupananchiskama at UBC's Museum of Anthropology. Very cool exhibition that features and describes ancient indigenous Andean cosmovision, their understanding of the universe and how the universe was organized based on the heavens and the earth and the underground. Very, very cool. I had the opportunity to go to the curator tour opening of the exhibition and spoke with the curator, Luis Manuel Gonzalez. Check out this interview and check out the exhibition, which is ongoing at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC.
Hi, I'm Luis Manuel Gonzalez. I'm an archaeologist from Peruvian archaeologist, and I'm working now in UBC 2 years ago. I'm the guest curator for the Tupananchiskama Ancient Andean Cosmovision. And I like to show how we put together these the belongings and how we try to tell the story about the cosmovision for the Andes in Peru.
Right off the top, how would you explain cosmovision?
The cosmovision is the how the people have the worldview and try to understand the world and try to make this understandable also for the other people. For this worldview, we're talking about the cosmovision, how they understand the dead, how they understand the life, how understand the geography, how understand the human relations between the communities, between how you help the reciprocity, how I can peace living together in harmony. No, but it's something. Let's see.
And how would you say that is sort of expressed through Andean culture?
Yeah, in the Andean cultures, for example, we have this called the Aini. For example, the reciprocity we're talking about in the exhibition. We saw now in what the people help us between. For example, with this now in this moment with this the people. The community, somebody for the community, have need help for the healthy, for example, the operation for medical healthy, and they don't have the money. The people around the community help, but not help only for help. Is for example, they start to sell food, and the people cooperate with this. For some, in the past, my dad told me about, for example, is the canals for the community, it's not clean, and one day say, oh, come all the houses send somebody to help and clean the canals. And also, but this you make your house and you need that you start to make the second level, and it's your friends and family and community coming to help, and you make the food, mm-hmm. and you have this force, and with the next people edify again the new houses, you go, and it's how these reciprocities continue integrate to the. It's not the same with the reciprocity, but the same idea is you make it.
Right.
But if you go for make help somebody, but in the future somebody can help you.
Right. Mm-hmm. A real sort of like community.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Community. Yeah.
When you're putting together the exhibition, mm-hmm. sort of about a historical overview of mm-hmm. Andean culture mm-hmm. and prehistorical, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Are you considering that Andean cosmovision in terms of how you've laid things out and mm-hmm. the flow of the exhibit? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try to show the worldview that we have recorded in the Inca time, but for try to understand or try to show how is this view can be in the past. For this, I put different realms for the Kaipacha, Kupacha, Hanapacha. It's a mix for different cultures expressed in different times. But, for example, the Ukupacha, how in different times the people represent ancestors, the Ukupacha, how they represent the animals, the beings in the Kaipacha. It can be not the same idea for the Kaipacha, but it's how they represent these words in this time, these realms in this with vessels, with that textiles, with bones.
Right, so like the specific interpretations or visions of what these cosmovision concepts might be are represented from each of the eras.
For example, the shark is represented, is very detailed. Mm-hmm. And it's the detail is you need to know so that the shark is, you don't can imagine also the shark. Mm-hmm. The detail for the
gills,
it's precise, is that it's unique. It's sad for me, but it's, with this you need to turn also around
outside.
It's well, and also the deer, the cat, the Andean cat, mm-hmm. it have all the designs. Is what is you saw is that represent also to the lines and the color is very similar. And say okay, it's, for me, for this we're talking about the first in the with the mountains. Mm-hmm. It's the encyclopedia, something is the book. Is you can saw and say, okay, I can, and now I recognize this animal with this represent here.
Right, sort of like the key.
Yeah, the key, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just talking about the artifacts, the pieces themselves, are they all from the same collection here?
Yeah, yeah.
What was your sort of reaction or experience of sort of seeing and exploring that collection for the first time?
The first time, with this, I have the proposal to come in to make the exhibition. I don't know nothing for the collection. For this, when I started, I tried to talk with the staff and say, this is what I know about my culture and this, and I show you, but we can together build. You, the staff, have the capacity and the very potential to come walking in the same page. And I show Peru, the Andes, the mountains, the diversity for plants, the diversity for the cultures in the time, and we started talking, and I saw the pieces, and I said, okay, we have the potential for make something. Not something very particular, but it's, in the first time, I think, oh, we can talk about Inca, for example, but it's 2-3 pieces for Inca, and we can talk about water, but it's not too much pieces where I can represent water. I can talk with the resilience and say, oh, the resilience is the good, but with the adaptation, and it can be, and I start with this, that resilience, but when they started to say, oh, but this, we can integrate more with this. We have 3 words, the philosophical understanding for the Andes, and with these 3 words we have humans and animals, ancestors, and gods. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, I can start now searching in the collection and try to solve more for the belongings. It's coming here and say very good, oh, can be that excellent candidate for this. And start this. And I start to the Ugu Pacha, but for me, for the Pachas, you say, oh no, but I need put in context all these things. For this, I started. For the timeline, the people understand, but it's how. It's more for the my academic background, mm-hmm. but I say, oh, timelines, but it's more for the people don't like timelines, but it's too long, nobody understand. But for me, say, oh, no, and I start to say, no, but it's this, and we can make more anime, we can put the Amaru, the table, mm-hmm. that dates. We can make something more dynamic, and the people can want to see, and it's, and also can assimilate, oh, the time, oh, Inca is this time, but it's only 100, and Paracas is this time. Oh, okay, now when I saw Paracas, oh, Paracas is... And you know, it's different times. It's not linear, this exhibition. Also, it's cyclical. But it's, mm-hmm. you have the same representation in different times. For this, is, I think is this is the thing we can try to talk. Cyclical time, and it's the time and space, the patches, is this definition. It can be the same space, but it's different time. Mm-hmm. And Nazca, and Quilque, and Paracas, Paracas and Nazca is in the same space, but a different time.
Right. Yeah, well, I think, you know, mentioning the timeline and that it really, I mean, just going back and looking at it now, first of all, one of the main things is like, oh, so all of the, like, the sort of building blocks in terms mm-hmm. of, like, you know, the domestication of various mm-hmm. plants and mm-hmm. The development mm-hmm. of all these things, they all happen, like, way far back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, like, you know, thousands of years mm-hmm. before you get the sort of like the big famous
yeah. mm-hmm.
the more well-known, I guess, South Andean civilizations. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, like you're saying, you get these themes that carry throughout and do mm-hmm. seem to sort of cycle through. Mm-hmm. So it's very, yeah. very interesting.
Yeah, and it's for me, is that this timeline is working perfect with the exhibition, but it also shows what did you say is so the people domesticate plants are using the plants too much early, but is that we saw these big buildings and big civilization and mm-hmm. yeah, and it's very fascinating. But it's also we have this curve, it's perfectly what say, oh, you saw this time and how now you can saw all the culture in different parts for the South America in Peru. That make it in the south, in the north, and how also overlap in the time. Mm-hmm. And these communities is talking totally. And is fighting, or it's together. And say for me, this is a good view, but this take time to see. But I think it can be very powerful to the public to see this timeline.
So much of what's in the collection is ceramics.
Yeah.
Is that just a result of sort of what was in the collection, or is there sort of like a conscious thought around
that? Yeah, more for the collection is ceramic, but it's more things it's about. And is that the pottery is more representative and is more complete, and we want to show more the complete pieces. We can. So also the wood, we have a couple of wood. We can have a couple of wood artifacts, belongings, mm-hmm. but the pottery is the most extensive. Yeah.
Seems like it was maybe like the preferred medium, or at least the one that survived.
Yeah,
best,
yeah, right? Yeah, and also it's also can be part for the owner for the collection. They pick. Yeah, it's not aleatory. But for this also is the for me the challenger in the first time. Say, I need to read. What I can show in the collection, but this is the collection for somebody,
right?
No, and it's I need to talk and read the collection and try to understand the collection, and after this I say okay, I can with this I can make this,
right? So yeah. You don't just get to pick anything yeah. you might want. You got yeah. to pick from
yeah.
what's available.
Yeah, and it's only the collection is. This exhibition, yeah, it's part for the exhibition.
And so you're Peruvian.
Yeah, I'm Peruvian.
What does it mean to be able to sort of like, or sort of, what is your sort of personal feeling of your connection to this material and these cultures?
It's a good question, but it's when I started the research and see the belonging, every day I'd be oh wow. It's more. I mean, I say, this is so beautiful, and it's too much to talk about everything. Yeah. And then for me, it's also one for the feelings to say, oh no, I can show more. I need to synthesize the description. But this, with you saw, is more for 5,000 years of history, and I need to make that very short. Is one, two, three sentences for each culture, but I hope. Everybody read and want to know more about these cultures. Yeah, and it's more for this. It's what I saw the potential, and I feel connect with the pieces. And something is more, it can be more sentimental, but it's also funny. But say, oh, it's migrant, that me. I come into Vancouver, and they come into Vancouver, and we meet together again. Yeah, it's coming to Pananchiskama. The life is bringing us together again, and it's we're talking, and I talking through the belongings, but show us, no? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing is, I want to everybody coming can saw the same, and only know for the Andes, no? It can be the person for coming for Europe, for coming for Asia, and try to reconnect and talking about again with the ancestors. But we are humans, and the humanity is other, no? It's the thing we are have. These feelings for the connections.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Is there anything else you think people should know about the exhibition?
Yeah, the exhibition is opening tomorrow. And it's the opening. We can have a dance for Peruvian traditions and food. And come enjoy the exhibition and try to saw and reflect about the ancestry.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Coming up tomorrow in the 10 a.m. Speak Up spot is the final episode of Mnook Me by our School for the Contemporary Arts intern, Caitlin Terrell. Caitlin produced a whole 7-part mini-series about, lots of different things, but exploring art and the creative process, particularly as it pertains to Indigenous youth across Turtle Island. Great, great series that you can find the whole thing at cjsf.ca/contents/mnookmi. That's M-N-O-O-K-M-I. Or tune in tomorrow for the final episode from 10 to 11 a.m. And then we're back with Magnus and Gardening with Embark and all that stuff on Monday. See you next time.